Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
Ann Klockner with us this morning. She's the executive director of Legal Aid Works. We'll get into all the good stuff that Legal Aid Works does as we go along this morning. But Ann, we talk again. Good morning. Well, welcome to the show, and thank you for getting up early again with us.
Good morning, Ted. Thanks so much for inviting me.
Well, this is it's another week as things roll on, and we have talked throughout this about the fact that the courts are closed, and you have expected, and for the last few weeks have talked about how you expected the date of when the courts open to again be moved, and yesterday it was moved.
You bet. It was moved. So that what that really means is that the courts are not accepting new cases except for emergencies, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. And they have pushed the date. First, it was everything's closed till April 6th. Then they put it off to April 26th. Now they've put it off again. These are 21-day intervals, if anyone's doing the math, to May 17th. So that means that the courts are effectively closed for most cases until May 17th. We even expect that that might be pushed back even further to match Governor Northam's June 10th stay-at-home order, but we don't know that yet. So at least through May 17th, the courts are closed. They are open, however, for some criminal cases and domestic violence protective orders and anything that I guess someone can convince the court is an emergency.
Walk us through, and then what happens if say I do have a child protective order or one of the issues that you mentioned. Do I then contact the clerk's office of the court? Would that be my next step?
Yeah, it's either called the clerk's office or it's sometimes called court services. And you just call the courthouse and say, look, I've got this emergency. Please put me in touch with the person who can help me walk through what your policies are. Each court is going to interpret that a little bit differently. Some of them ask you to do it by showing up at a particular time. So it's just really good to call ahead instead of just popping in and showing up.
What will this do? It's obvious. It makes sense that the courts would close just because everything else has had to at this time. But just practically speaking, what will this do to court dockets once things open, you know, perhaps in June or a little bit later?
Well, I'm going to throw a legal term at you. It's called hot mess. And
that is a legal term.
Yeah, it is a legal term. So we don't know. We don't know yet what the real effect is, but we're just kicking the can down the road at this point. Cases don't go away. These problems don't usually get better by not being resolved at court. So these aren't just going to evaporate. Plus, we'll have new cases. So we're anticipating a lot of very, very full court dockets. People are going to have to be very patient in going through a court system to make sure that their case is heard.
You think of this and how long at the end the courts will have been closed. This will be something, I guess it will be a hot mess because it will take a long time for this to work itself out.
Yeah, and I think all of the folks at the courthouses, we've seen them really trying to adapt and be nimble and flexible about this. They're trying to come up with the best approaches, too. We don't know yet how this is going to work out. We imagine that things are just going to be very busy for June, July, August, because so many things have been put off from March and April, in addition to all the other ones. So we'll see how that works. I think the judges are going to have a really full plate when they come back in.
A few weeks ago, we talked about this topic, and you suggested that in some of these instances, perhaps people should try to work something out instead of, like you say, you know, kicking the can down the road and looking at something that now may get extended. A case could get extended into, you know, mm-hmm. July or August. Maybe if it's the right kind of case, and there can be some resolution, to come to a resolution, so you're not waiting so long.
Right, and that certainly is a great option, because I would say even before the pandemic, a settlement that everybody agrees on is better than having some other person, like a judge, making choices for you. So it's always a good idea to settle things. The great marker of a good settlement is that you get a little bit of what you want, and the other person gets a little bit of what they want. Nobody gets everything they want. Everybody is a little dissatisfied, and then that means that, you know, you've got yourself an agreement.
Yeah.
Hopefully, we will get to some of those. People will see these long waits. We'll see the big dockets and say, you know what? I can live with a little bit less than what I had hoped for.
Now, your offices are of course closed right now too. But do you anticipate when the courts reopen that your already overworked team of lawyers is going to be even more overworked with people coming forward?
Well, I'll just correct you a little bit. We are open. We are up and running and doing all the work that we normally do. We had a full caseload of clients. Those have not gone away. They're very anxious. They need a lot of communication. We are trying to decide which things are emergencies and which are not. We're getting a lot of protective order requests, so we are going into court on those. The only thing that's different now is that we are working from home. We're working remotely, and we're not doing in-person client contact. But your point is very well taken, that we're sensing that not only are there going to be more requests for our services, there's just going to be more people eligible for our services because they've all lost their jobs. Hmm. And they suddenly find themselves in a way that they never thought they would, being low income, or even in some terrible cases, no income.
So, boy, and I never thought of that about just the as far as more people being eligible for what you do. This is a good chance to just mention that that Legal Aid Works is nonprofit, and if people want to get involved and find out how to get involved, go to legalaidworks.org, the website, and there are all kinds of ways that the people can help you out financially.
Yeah, and right now, if anyone has means to do so, a donation to us is going to really help us serve more people. So, yes, we have a donate button on our website, and there's a tab you can also click on called Give Help, and it will list all the different ways in which you can help us.
And I know monthly donors are always welcome, and a great way to help what you do.
It's true. We call them the Equal Justice Society. So anyone who gives us an amount, let's say $5, even $10 a month, is a member of our Equal Justice Society. And that is something that gives us a continuing stream of income that's extremely helpful to us as we're planning our year.
LegalAidWorks.org. And I'll say it before you get a chance to this time. Anne, usually when we talk, we talk about the lawyers with Legal Aid Works, you're a scrappy bunch.
We are. And what that really comes down to is we're good at doing a lot with a little. We're very resourceful. We're very good at scraping together our limited resources and making a big impact in the community. So we're trying right now to develop a series of webinars that everyone can click in and learn a little bit about their rights. Just another way for us to try to spread as much information out there as possible so that people are making good choices about what they're facing right now.
Well, what you've provided the community during this pandemic, because you and I have talked, was this is the I think the fourth fourth straight week now we have done a show, and many more to come, I'm afraid. But just the information, we have covered a wide range of things, whether it's been unemployment, paying your rent, all kinds of things. We're going to talk about a number of things today, but thank you for what you're doing in the community, and what you have done just during the pandemic with these shows has been, I have learned a lot about a number of these issues and in a number of things. So thank you for that, as always.
Well, we're very glad to be able to be there for people. This is what we do. We help low-income folks who are dealing with evictions and foreclosures, public benefits issues, family law issues, domestic violence. So these are the kind of critical things that are really going to hit people, sometimes for the first time, and we'd really like to be part of the solution there. We're happy, happy to do that.
LegalAidWorks.org, again, the website, and Klockner is here this morning, and we will continue. We'll talk about stimulus checks when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
And Klockner with Legal Aid Works is here this morning as we talk about, just a lot of day-to-day and situational things in life as we deal with the pandemic. The stimulus checks, most of us should have had them, got them by now, and they should be in your bank account, or you should be getting them in the mail by now, shouldn't you, Ann?
Kind of. There's going to be, so this is so massive, and so many moving parts and so many different variations on what, you know, could be out there, that we don't really expect this all to just be, okay, once and done. Everybody gets their $1,200, it magically appears in your bank account, and we're done.
Yeah.
So let's just walk through a little bit about who will get them, what do I do if I'm not getting the payment, you know, and how can I make things a little bit easier. So the first thing is, who's going to receive this? It's called an economic impact payment. We call it the stimulus checks. And they should be automatic. It should be based on anyone who filed a federal income tax return for 2018 or 2019. So you file for 2018 last year, or you filed for 2019 this year after January. So if you did that, theoretically, the IRS should be sending you that check. You also could get that check automatically without taking any additional steps if you receive Social Security or railroad retirement benefits and you didn't file an income tax return, because some people don't need to because their benefits are so low that they don't need to file a tax return, even if they didn't file a tax return, but they're getting Social Security, so the federal government has their records and knows them, those folks should be getting a stimulus check as well. So the big concern when somebody doesn't see that magic $1,200 appearing in their account, they're going to be sent to the address where you filed your tax return, or to the direct deposit where you asked your direct deposit to be made of your refund.
Okay.
So that could be an issue because your address may have changed, your bank account may have changed. So what should you do if you're not getting the payment automatically, or if there's some kind of hitch in this? First of all, if you're not getting it automatically, if you're not somebody who's filed an income tax return in the last 2 years or has gotten Social Security, then you can go to the IRS website. You can enter your information. It's called non-filer enter payment information here. So you can kind of record it there. It's fast, it's safe, it's free, and you can get information there. If you are pretty sure that you've done all this, you've got a federal income tax return, you've got the Social Security, and you're not seeing your check, the IRS has built a new tool called Get My Payment. So you can just Google IRS Get My Payment, and it's part of the IRS website. And it provides people with the status of their payment, including the date their payment is scheduled to be deposited into their bank account or mailed to them. It's also something that you can go in, and if you're eligible, you can provide your bank account information so that they can receive a payment more quickly than just waiting for the paper check.
Okay. What if, as you were discussing these scenarios, what if for whatever reason, and not the reasons that you mentioned about why I didn't, what if I didn't file a tax return last year? I should have, but I didn't. Is this the time I'm getting caught? I'm going to get caught.
Well, you were going to get caught anyway.
Right. Yes.
In the fullness of time, as things kind of sort themselves out, it's never a good idea to have not filed your tax return. And a lot of times, even people who didn't file their tax return and would have gotten a refund, they really should have filed, because that will mean that they can't get this benefit right now,
right,
or
right,
as easily.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, the best thing to do if you haven't filed is to immediately go on to the IRS website and say non-filer. There's a category for non-filers. And the other possibility is to quickly file a return for last year. You will have to pay a penalty, but the penalty... I don't know how much that would be, but I would at least try to get the stimulus check. Another thing to keep in mind about the stimulus checks is it's $1,200, but it's also $500 per dependent. So if you have, let's say, three kids, that's, $1,500.
Yeah.
In addition to the $1,200 for you.
So this is if and I guess by now, if you haven't gotten it, you should start you going through the number of ways you just outlined to look for it and to see the status of it, because most of them have gone out by now.
So it's the IRS website, so irs.gov, and Get My Payment. They will make it easy for you to walk through it. You may have, for example, if you filed a federal income tax return for 2018 or for 2019, you can put in the information that you filed. So it would be good to have your a copy of what you filed with you when you're filling out that form of Get My Payment, because they'll say, oh, tell me your name, tell me your address, tell me your date of birth, tell me your Social Security number so that they'll identify you. And then they'll say, and tell me what your adjusted gross income was for last year. Tell me what your refund amount was, or how much you paid in taxes last year.
Okay.
Because they want to match you up. Mm-hmm. They want to make sure that you're not just somebody Googling in and seeing if you can figure out how much somebody else is getting. So it's good to have your tax return available when you're filling that out, so that you can identify yourself and say, yep, I'm that person who filed that return last year. And then they will either say, okay, we've got your information, we'll send you the check when we can, and we'll give you an idea of when we're going to send it. Or they'll say, hey, we don't have any address for you, or we don't have any bank account for you, and you put in your information.
With these stimulus checks, the Better Business Bureau sends out daily alerts about scams. And unfortunately, you got to be careful, because there are a lot of groups out there trying to get your money.
Yeah, and there are several things you can do to be aware of that. First of all, when you're putting in all this incredibly important personal information into a website like irs.gov, look up at the top and make sure that the internet address that you're doing this all through is a legitimate IRS address. So it should have a little padlock that shows that this is secure. It should make sure that it says IRS.gov so that you're not inputting this into a fake website. We've seen a few of those crop up. Another thing to be really careful about is that the IRS is not going to be asking you for all this information. You, if you want to find out about how it's going, you can go in and put your information in. But some scammers are just calling people up and saying, oh, if you give me your Social Security number and your date of birth, I'll be happy to arrange for your stimulus check to get there. No one's ever going to call you like that.
Yeah. Again, these are a lot of the basic kind of scamming rules that we hear about. Don't give out that information, especially in this particular case, because you can find out that yourself, and it's just somebody trying to get your money.
That's right. They will find a way.
Ann Klockner with Legal Aid Works here this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. LegalAidWorks.org is how you can find out more about the good work of Legal Aid Works in this area. LegalAidWorks.org. We need to take a quick break. We will continue along on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is now 8:30.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Ann Klockner here this morning with Legal Aid Works. And we finished up, we were talking about stimulus checks. The other question, I guess, to kind of wrap that up, and we talked about what if you haven't filed income tax? What if you don't have a bank account? What happens then?
Well, sometimes it's good to have a bank account, and sometimes it's not good to have a bank account. Bank accounts are great. They help you save. They store your money. It's so much safer than putting it under your mattress. You can even earn, 0.0005% interest or whatever the interest rate is. But it also leaves you vulnerable to creditors. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. But if you are interested in having a bank account, but you have a very low income, or you don't have a really good history with your bank accounts, maybe you've overdrawn a lot of bank accounts, there's a resource called joinbankon.org. So it's joinbankon.org. And that is an organization that has a list of low-fee, safe, checkless checking accounts that can be opened online and are open to people with maybe not a perfect bank account history. So if you're interested in getting a bank account and want to have the best low-fee, safe, checkless checking account, go to joinbankon.org for that possibility.
I did not know something like that existed. I thought that with a bank account that you automatically and we'll get into talking about some of these issues in just a second, that it was just open game if you had debts. So I did not know that something like that existed.
Well, you can still have anything that's in these accounts garnished. It doesn't protect you. But in terms of being able to open a bank account and not have it be some kind of really shady operation, that's what we mean by safe.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So let's talk a little bit about garnishment, because right now people are really at the point where they are not able to pay all their debts. They want to pay all their bills, but without an income coming in, it makes it really difficult. So garnishments, that's just a word that means taking money from your paycheck or from your bank account. First of all, that can never happen unless there is already a court order. So you've been served with a document that says, hey, we're taking you to court because you owe us money. Then there's a court hearing where you can go in and argue about it, saying, no, that's not right. I don't owe that amount, or I don't owe it to you, or I've never heard of you before, or whatever. But if the judge then decides that, yes, this creditor does need that money, and this is the amount that's owed, that's a court order or a court judgment. The creditor takes that judgment, goes to the bank, and puts an order to freeze your bank account. And therefore, you can't take any money out. Even if you have, let's say, $5,000 in that bank account, and they have a $1,000 judgment against you, they're going to freeze all $5,000 and wait until they get their $1,000 out. They are going to do that as soon as the courts open up again. We're pretty confident about that. Some of them have already gotten court judgments against you before the pandemic. So we're really advising people, if you have your stimulus check in bank, get it out as soon as possible so that creditors are not taking it and you can decide which creditors get paid first. Because an old credit card debt from 3 years ago is not as important as putting a roof over your head right now.
And this goes back to something we have you have talked every week. We have talked about these issues. Don't hide from your debts. Talk to the people that whether it's your mortgage company or your landlord or whoever is the person you owe something to or you're making payments to right now and having difficulty.
Right. And document it, put it in writing, send them emails or letters so that you can say, here's what I've been telling you. Here's the situation. Here's what I'm offering you. I think things are going to clear up pretty soon. I've been able to pay this debt and that debt, but I still have to pay this one. So these are all things that really come down to communication. You're right. We have some breathing room right now, where there's no court in session, so there aren't debt collection lawsuits, at least until May 17th. The debt doesn't go away, but at least the debt collection lawsuits are holding off for a little bit. One of the things you need to be aware of is when you get those lawsuits, they're not called debt collection lawsuits. They're called warrants in debt. That's the legal term of art that is used in Virginia. And all that means, it sounds like, oh, my God, warrant? Are they going to arrest me?
Right.
Is this a criminal case? Nope. They just call it warrant in debt. And that just means that the creditor who you owe the money to is taking you to court. You should definitely, when you get that kind of notice and they finally do give you a court date, it's super important to show up to those court dates, because otherwise everything that the creditor says is deemed to be true, even if it's not. No one will correct your account for you. You'd have to go in there and say, no, wait a minute, I don't owe $4,000. I may owe $2,000, but I certainly don't owe $4,000. So if you don't show up, they're just going to go ahead and get an order for $4,000, and there's nothing you can do about it because you had the chance to show up. So when courts open up again, when we have those warrant in debt cases, we're going to hope that people will show up and make sure that they get their say in how this warrant in debt case is handled. I really want people to know that they have the right to show up. They have the right to argue about, is this really what I owe? And even if it absolutely is exactly what you owe, it still makes sense to show up because you want to make sure you're there to maybe work out a deal and say, look, I don't have the $4,000. I do have $3,000 I could pay you right now. And then could you get the rest of it, you know, just to wipe it off? Because $3,000 now is better than trying to get $4,000 over time. And sometimes you can work out a deal. So it all comes down to being forthright about it and being able to come forward and say, look, I have this money or I don't have this money. Here's what I think I can do.
Can you work out a payment schedule, or when it gets to the courts, when it gets to the court level, is it this is what you'll pay, or can you work out something like that?
It all depends on the creditor and the creditor's flexibility and willingness. Okay. Some of them just say, yeah, even right up to the last moment, I'm going to make a deal. Others are saying, nope. If it got to this point, I really don't have any patience. I'm just going to keep on going, and I want to get your money. And it's not, of course, your money. It's their money. And so they want to make sure that they get every dime that they're owed, and that's their right. So it depends. I couldn't say for sure that everyone is going to be able to make a nice little, you know, court hallway deal for payment plans. Sometimes it's a little too late for that when it's already gotten to that stage.
Right. Yeah. And I guess what you worry just naturally because so many people are out of work right now or not making what they made. And unfortunately, we'll see a lot of these, I'm afraid.
I think so. Right now, as I said, we've got some breathing room. There's no utility cutoffs permitted in Virginia right now, and no debt collection lawsuits are allowed to be filed right now. Or they can be filed, they just can't have court dates and have judgments. And there's no... right now, there's a moratorium on evictions and foreclosures. Once things start opening up again, though, it's going to be very difficult. And that's why we're always advising people when you're really in a tough spot, pay your rent or your mortgage first and your utilities first. That at least puts a roof over your head and lets you live without going out onto the streets. Then you pay your food and necessities. I would then put right after that your car payment if you need your car for employment, and then your other debts. It would be great if you could just pay all your bills like normal. Of course you should do that if you can. But if you're really at a point where you have to borrow from Peter to pay Paul at the end of the month, and certainly at this end of the month in April, it just is unlike any other month you've probably ever had in your financial history. This is your time to be strategic. Do not forget that your rent or your mortgage is the most important bill to pay.
In a time like this, Anne, what about high interest loans?
Boy, are they a bad idea. So title loans, you know, the ones that you can, you know, give the title to your car to a lender so that they can take your car if you can't pay, or payday loans or anything like that. Eventually, over time, you will end up spending so much more time and money and resources in high interest than if you just were not taking that loan out at all. It's always a bad idea to do that. It's so tempting because those agencies just hand you money right away. Oh, my gosh, that's exactly what you need.
Yeah.
But be super careful. There's lots of traps that are set up in that, almost designed to make you continue to pay high interest. So you can never get out of that cycle. And so I would really strongly advise people not to do any kind of high interest loan now. Tempting though it may be, it is going to cause more difficulty and dig you a deeper hole financially than if you didn't take out that loan at all.
Ann Klockner with Legal Aid Works here this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's kind of like if it seems too good to be true, and this is one of those situations.
Yeah. I think that it's really understandable that somebody would say, well, I'm on my last financial leg here. I've got to do something.
Sure.
I've got to do a real Hail Mary pass. This isn't the way to do it because we've seen too many people get caught up in that cycle, and they just never can get out of it. They charge hundreds. The percentage of interest is in the hundreds. It's not just, oh, it might be a 9% interest rate. No. These are hundreds of percent interest rate on a modest amount of money that you'll get. So we would really caution you not to do that.
And like you said a few minutes ago, so many people, even leading up to this, were, and this is the situation we always talk about of people that you're living paycheck to paycheck. And if that was you, this is a situation now most likely where you really are scrambling and desperate to do something.
Yeah, and I certainly understand that. This is a time, I think, where most people will appreciate the things that we've been hearing about all the time, and that is make a budget. Stick to the budget. One of the most important lines in your budget should be savings. And it's hard to even imagine that right now because people are really struggling and really living hand to mouth. This points to how important it is to sit down and say, how much do I earn? How much money is coming in right now? Then look at how much money goes out, and then you try to make those two match. And ideally, you earn a little bit more than you spend. That's how you save. But the discipline of sitting down and writing out, how do I spend my money? Just exactly what is my cable bill? And
right,
how much is my mobile phone bill? And is there any way I can call up my mobile phone company and see if I can get a better deal? What can I do? I really need all the different parts of my cable service. Looking very critically at all your expenses so that you can spend what you need to survive, and maybe even put even the most modest amount aside is going to help.
LegalAidWorks.org, the website. Ann Klockner here, the executive director with Legal Aid Works. We will wrap this up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WF.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Ann Klockner with Legal Aid Works here this morning. And one of the things that you every week we get together and you throw out a lot of great websites that are just a wealth of information. And I'll let you run through some of those again, because some of them you've mentioned today, but others you haven't, but have other weeks. There's a lot of good helps out there depending on what our needs are.
You bet. And I just want to also highlight how important it is for when you're out there looking for good information, be sure it's for a solid, trusted website. And the ones that I'm going to be giving you, I trust and I go to all the time. The first one I want to bring to your attention is the National Consumer Law Center. That's nclc.org. They have a really terrific resource called A Guide to Surviving Debt. So they're going to be walking through many of the things that you and I have just talked about today, but they have all kinds of resources on that website. So it's nclc.org, A Guide to Surviving Debt. Another great website is vplc.org. That stands for Virginia Poverty Law Center.org. They have an entire section on COVID-19, information on your rights in unemployment, in housing, in family law. All of those areas, they have extensive Know Your Rights fact sheets. They have them in lots of different languages, actually, not only English, but some are even in Spanish, some are in Korean. They have a lot of different languages where you can pick up that good information. We also have a general legal aid website. If you aren't in the Fredericksburg area and you want to know what their resources are in your community for legal aid, it's VALegalAid.org. So that's VALegalAid.org is just a clearinghouse for a lot of good information in general, and then also specifically guides you to your legal aid office. And then finally, our website, which is legalaidworks.org. We have two tabs that I want to draw your attention to. One is the resource tab, and right underneath the first category under the resource tab is all our COVID-19 information. We'll add to that every day, so keep checking back to that. And also the Get Help tab. The Get Help tab is a walkthrough of how you are able to get in touch with our office and go through the intake process. We are open for business. The only difference is that we are not opening our physical offices. We're all working remotely from home, but we would love to get applications for our services and be able to give you some advice if we can.
Courts closed until May 17th. Is that came down yesterday?
And we actually heard about it through our inner channels late last week, so we were able to adjust a little bit. The court is mandated to only take 21-day intervals on this, so they were going to close until just this last Sunday. They extended it another 21 days. Now it's May 17th. We expect it might be put off even more till June 10th, but we'll wait to hear about that. But for right now, unless there is an emergency and defined as some criminal cases, some emergencies, if you can convince the court that it's an emergency, and domestic violence protective orders. By all means, we're encouraging people who have a domestic violence in situation to report it to the police, to follow through and apply for a protective order. Those are still absolutely possible to get in this, even though the courts are closed to other cases.
And real quick, if I didn't get my stimulus check, what should I do? Where should I go?
You should go to the IRS and to the IRS.gov website and click on Get My Payment, and it will walk you through the process of trying to figure out how to get your stimulus check.
Well, as always, Ann, thank you so much. This is great stuff. We're becoming great friends with this. Who knows, at the end of this pandemic, we might actually like each other.
Well, I think it's a great opportunity. We always appreciate you, Ted, but never more so than now.
This
thank
has been
you.
Great. It is mutual. LegalAidWorks.org. Ann Klockner, the executive director. We'll see you next week, Ann. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
That's it for Town Talk. See you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.